Lane Johnson said he played left tackle yesterday. Will he play there if JC can't go on Sunday?
We'll determine that after we get through the week of training, just like we always talk about. So none of the decisions on where we're playing will go happen until after Saturday's training.
Do you feel more comfortable having him there than maybe previously, the possibility of having him there than previously than you had to put him there?
No. Again, we'll wait till Saturday to make that determination. He got a couple reps yesterday, so.
Is he taking more snaps than usual?
What's that?
Is he taking more snaps as a tackle than usual?
Well, usually it was zero, so yes, he's taking more snaps than zero.
Will part of that be based on the matchup with Dallas, because it could be a one-off situation?
No, just trying to figure out what's going to happen with Jason, so whether he's going to go or not going to go. So.
How is Jason coming up?
He's working on his rehab, so we'll see where he is again, but we won't determine anything until Saturday. So. He's not going to practice today.
We talked to Nelson Aguilar yesterday. He seemed kind of disappointed about his performance before he got hurt. What's your guys' take on what he's done as a rookie coming in and everything that he's done so far?
I think he's done a nice job getting acclimated in terms of what we're doing. I think the injury has set him back. You know, he's starting to kind of pick up, had a couple big catches in the Washington game for us. You know, the one-hander on the post route, caught a big out route on our sideline, and then got banged up. So, I think he was just starting to kind of come in, get real comfortable with how the league is and what the matchups are each week and the challenges that he's going to face each week. And then he got hurt. So, we're anxious to get him back. He's out there training with us now, went through everything yesterday. Going to go back through and see how long you see what you can do today. I think he's going to be able to go through everything today, and then we'll make an assessment with him on Saturday also.
You've been running the ball more effectively out of 12, Chip, than 11 this season. That surprise you at all? And why do you think that is?
I just think it's not cyclical, but I think it depends on how defenses are deploying and how you use 12. And, some people stayed. I think Carolina stayed in nickel versus it. So, if they're going to, it really depends on the matchup. And that's why we go through that 12-11 conversation all the time as a coaching staff. And what are we going to get out of them? And how are they going to defend it? And what does that mean to us? So, really on how people are defending it. So,
not during the draft, but after the draft, what kind of interest did you have in Bayard Collins?
For the Cowboys?
Yes.
We didn't have any interest in it.
Ryan Matthews was back on the practice report with his groin. How did that happen? And,
it happened in the Carolina game.
So he had a groin on Tuesday. He did nothing in practice on Wednesday.
Yeah, and his injury is the injury I told you guys about in the Carolina game where he didn't feel like he was going. So we felt he stayed and got treatment over break and was here on Tuesday. And now we'll see how he is and monitor him the rest of the week.
There's a more defined difference between left tackle and right tackle like a decade ago. Is that kind of the same? Are those positions more similar now?
No, I think there's a difference between playing the left side and the right side, so I don't know. Right last year, 10 years ago compared to this year, I think there's a difference between the two positions. You know, a lot of the pass rushers are on the defensive right or the offensive left. You know, in terms of how you face them, because it's the backside of most quarterbacks, unless you're Steve Young or Michael Vick, then it's the other way around. But I still think there's a difference between a right tackle and a left tackle.
What are they?
Stance, pass rushers that you're going to face. You know, ability to operate your feet in a different manner. But really, matchups, I think, is really what it comes down to.
What have you seen defenses have done, if anything, differently when Darren Sproles has come out in passing situations?
As a running back, we get a lot more double the back. So, that's what you kind of see where teams that play man-free, they're really the free player is monitoring Darren along with the other guy that's responsible for covering him. So.
Was that a lot of what you saw increasingly last year when his passing numbers?
Yeah, that's what we saw last year. Most of the time we saw Darren in there, people are trying to double him, and rightfully so, because he's the weapon that you're trying to take away in the passing game. So.
That little open things up for other guys, all right?
But they're still covering the other guys, so it's not like it's a zone. It's everybody else is getting single coverage, but everybody else was getting single coverage. It was just sometimes there's a low hole player that's not free to roam and help anywhere. He's actually specifically assigned to help with him. So.
Since Hardy's come back, how much have they been moving him around?
They are moving him around, and you'll get him inside and get him in some matchups, but predominantly he's been at the strong side, outside defensive end for them, but they have moved him around a little bit. I don't have the exact percentages, but he's played predominantly at the defensive end spot, and he's made a lot of damage and hay there, but they have moved him around, so you got to be aware of he's not always going to line up across from your left tackle. He could be inside on the guards, and he's been out at the the other defensive end also, but it's predominantly in one spot. But there is movement, and you got to be aware of where he is.
Just in general, Chip, not necessarily respect the Cardinals, but how do you, in terms of trying to build the program you want to build here, looking for the kind of guys you want to bring in here, how do you evaluate a guy who maybe has some things in his past that you might... that another team might look at and say, I don't want that here? I mean, what is the calculus?
We look at everybody individually and just what happened or if there was a transgression, what they went through and how it happened, and try to get to the bottom of it so you can make a assessment in terms of how he'll fit on your team. So everybody's done on an individual basis.
How's Dennis Kelly at guard compared to Kaepernick?
I think I don't know if you say the same, but I think he's probably... has done a nice job because he's gone in at guard for us. You know, that's where we've seen him and haven't seen him unless it was preseason games at tackle. So, and it's kind of tough when you see him in a preseason game, who's he running against? You know, is he running against their threes, you know, when he's out there at the right tackle spot? So what we've seen him against in terms of good live competition has been at guard, and we think he's done a nice job when he's been in at guard.
Did DeMarco Murray's health hold him back earlier on in the season?
DeMarco Murray's health? No, I don't think so, no.
Pat had suggested yesterday, Pat Shermer, that it had and that he's healthier now.
That's a good question for DeMarco, but, I mean, he's been up for every game, so. And active for every game. I mean, he missed the Jets game, and obviously, but that's a question for him in terms of what he says on that one. But we didn't look at it when the games he was active of, let's limit his carries because we don't think he's healthy. I mean, he was healthy enough to go in all those games, so he was good to go. So.
Jim, is there a lot of value in the first Dallas tape for the guys on offense, or do you kind of not even go there?
No, we go there. I mean, there's value in any tape. We've watched every game they've played, so we don't look at one game and discount that compared to another game. I mean, you got a whole body of work, you know, seven games or plus. What are they? Yeah, seven games so far that you've seen on them. So we watch all seven games, break down all seven games, and use information from all seven games. So.
When you look at the quarterback situation around the league, I mean, you know, Kaepernick just got benched. You know, Monk and Peyton Manning kind of struggling a little bit. What do you think that says about the volatility of the position and how important it is to have, you know, pretty stable quarterback?
I don't think it has anything to do with this year. I think you can say that for every year this league's been in existence, or the game of football's been in existence, is, you know, it's the focal point of what you're doing is the quarterback spot. You know, it's the way the game is. I mean, that's the guy that has the ball on every play, you know, and how he distributes it, whether it's to the right guys or to the wrong guys, and are you moving your team down the field and managing the game the way you're supposed to manage a game? That's the key. And very rarely is a team successful that doesn't have really good quarterback play. You know, there's been some exceptions where, you know, it was just a defense for the ages and the offense was just kind of, you know, you're winning games 7-0 or 6-3, whatever, that's the deal. But most of the time the percentages are that, you know, when you get good quarterback play, you probably have a good football team.
How do you assess how are you valuing guys like Kaepernick and RG3 who have struggled with guys who are playing quarterbacks since they had success? Do you think that...
I'm really honestly worried about the Cowboys, so I haven't watched a snap of the 49ers or know what's going on with anybody else. Or, I mean, you can see reports of guys doing all the other stuff, but, you know, I'm more concerned with Greg Hardy than we are with Colin Kaepernick or RG3.
So. If I could follow up on that, I mean, you know, a guy like Kaepernick led the 49ers to the Super Bowl, you know, Buck and Manning obviously had a ton of success and everything like that, and to see them struggling like that. Mm-hmm.
Clint Longbaum Longley came in and did an unbelievable job for the Dallas Cowboys at one point in time, too. So, again, I'm worried about the Cowboys. We're not anybody else's quarterback spots. And some guys have come in and had great years and been one-year guys, and other guys don't play until later in their career, like Kurt Warner, that sat and was playing Arena League ball, and everybody's saying, what about him, and then turns into a Hall of Famer. So how it happens, and I'll let some people write books about that, but that's not what my focus and attention is on. My focus and attention on is blocking Greg Hardy in a really good front and trying to get people to get Sean Lee straightened out and making sure we were sound on defense in terms of facing Matt Castle and Dez Bryant and Jason Witten. So,
would you put up with what it took to get Greg Hardy on the field for the Cowboys?
Again, I have no idea what it took for them to do, so, and we weren't involved in that, so that's their deal. So.
If you think back to March, how do you sell the backfield combination?
We didn't sell anything. We were just very honest in terms of what we're doing, and we were bringing two guys in here, and those are the two guys we wanted. So they explained it straight out. They knew that they were both here. They were actually both here at the same time, so they knew exactly what was going on. I don't think there's any selling job that has to go on. It's just, this is what we do. Here's the offense that we run, and these are the guys we want to have be a part of it, and they both liked it. So,
thanks, guys.